Blog Talk Radio.
Kevin McCarthy is coming out against formation of an independent commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. This comes after McCarthy authorized one of the lieutenants to negotiate a bipartisan agreement with Democrats, and a deal was announced last week. However, McCarthy now says he cannot support the agreement. He issued a statement and accused House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of negotiating in bad faith on the scope of the commission's work. The full House is expected to vote on forming the commission this week. President Biden's tax returns show he made over $600,000 last year. For 2020, the President and First Lady paid over $157,000 in taxes, which puts their effective tax rate at about 26%. Vice President Harris also released her tax returns. She and the Second Gentleman made nearly $1.7 million in 2020 and paid $621,000 in federal income taxes. In releasing the returns, the White House took a swipe at former President Trump, who never released his returns, saying it continued an almost uninterrupted tradition. New York City is now offering Nets merchandise and a chance to win Nets playoff tickets as incentives to get the coronavirus vaccine. Meanwhile, more than 7.6 million vaccine doses have been administered in the city to date. Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's almost two-thirds of the way toward his goal of getting 5 million fully vaccinated by the end of June. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, break time? I know you. I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. I try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive results should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. We'll see some morning sunshine turning to cloudy skies and some showers later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 59, 60 degrees. We'll also have a little bit of wind out of the south to southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting up to 30 in selected areas. Tonight, clouds and light showers still hanging around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday, start things out, clouds and showers again. Highs around 59, 60. Tapering off to partly cloudy skies by Wednesday night. Lows down to about 44. Thursday, much of the same. Clouds in the afternoon. Mostly clear skies by Thursday night. Highs around 63.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasili and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you to listen and turn us on. I'm Dr. Pat. You are listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And for many of you, you're like pinging me about the new intro music. Trust me, I'm still working on it. Yep, but for now, let's enjoy the beauty and the absolutely creative energy of Nick Johnson, who produced that music and gave us permission. Wow, like a decade ago to use it. Thank you for joining us here today because we're talking about the Enneagram. And it is an Enneagram. It's an Enneagram. Not how you say it. It's a game changer. My very special co-host today is Renee Siegel. And why is this important? If you are like she and you go through life, you're educated as a marriage family therapist, you get a deep understanding of that which we do not see in the world in the same way. not just because of gender and culture and age differences, but because we have an accumulation of life experiences. You know, I coach women, and, you know, I get a call yesterday, and there's a situation you just could not have predicted. This is life. But here she is, right? She's got some experience in a place kind of like where I used to live. Not quite, but the inner city treatment center. And you're working with women. You're working with children. You're working with people who are alone. You're working with folks that are trying to develop skills, but they have very few of them. And then you move on to work in the hospital setting. Once you do all that, what taps you on the shoulder to say, I'm going to open a wellness center. I'm going to collaborate with professionals. I'm going to step out into the world because I now know something, and I know something I can do differently, whether it's private practice or whether she's out speaking or she's working with professionals, men and women, all of you who are dealing with dissatisfaction, job, deep desires to make more in your life. One of the things you know is you've got to cultivate the right tools. That's what today's show is about. As a coach, a counselor, a trainer, this is Renee stepping into a world that looks at a holistic approach to understanding humans. Today, we're going to take you on a journey of what understanding humans might be about and to how to discover your pure potential. Renee, it's great to have you. It's finally here.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
It's finally here. I mean, I just gave people just a short snippet of your journey, but it's an important journey to talk about because we go through these doorways in life. We step through the doorway, and sometimes we know there's a sign on the doorway and it says, open this door and go here. And you enter into that door. And sometimes it is like the sign says, and other times it's not. But on your journey and all of the things you do, you must have seen something that was not working or working or something that needed to work better. What was your journey to finding this game-changing tool?
Well, that's a great question. So getting out of school, getting out of marriage and family therapy school and starting to work with individuals and families and couples, you know, you learn a lot of stuff academically, but then you're face-to-face with people who are having real-life experiences and real-life challenges, just like we are. We all are. This is a human dilemma. Can you go through continuing education to learn about this technique and that technique and another technique, and each one of them offers some kind of pearl of wisdom for how you can help people. But I was always fascinated with why these really bright people and insightful people would go back and make and create these same kind of pattern responses. Why we keep repeating these self-defeating behaviors. Like, what is it that takes somebody who's really smart, and I'm not just talking about smart in terms of book smarts. I'm talking about smarts in terms of street smarts, too, right? We got all sorts of smarts, right?
We do, boy.
Yeah, and we keep repeating these same patterns. And the when I was introduced to the Enneagram about 20 years into my journey with helping people, so about 20 years ago, all of a sudden, something made sense because the Enneagram or the study of the Enneagram helps me to understand why we have these knee-jerk reactions, these hardwired behaviors, these patterns that are sometimes very self-defeating, sometimes very helpful, but why we keep doing them over and over and over again. It's like, you know, in the fellowship, they say that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And yet, each and every one of us, whether we're in recovery or not, does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah, and when we do that, we end up at the moment of dissatisfaction, frustration, frustration, disappointment, and depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we can't see it.
Yeah, yeah. So the Enneagram has... as in its study and in the practices that you can learn about in terms of using the Enneagram, it has components of looking at how you think, how you emote or have emotional reactions, and how you have behavioral reactions too. So it's kind of a composite. It's a way of kind of holistically combining your worldview, how you perceive the world, how you defend against the world, how you emotionally experience life, and what you actually do, take action and behave in life. And the word Ennea means nine, and gram is just the word to describe the illustration of that diagram. So it's a nine-pointed diagram that describes nine different ways people would suit up to face challenges of the world, defend themselves against challenges of the world, react emotionally, behaviorally, and thinking. And so it is truly a holistic way of helping people to understand. That's step one, though, because just because we get who we are doesn't really help us. It's when we learn to watch who we are and what we're doing and thinking and behaving, that's when we can actually shift and make some changes. So it's not putting us in a box like a lot of other systems have described. It's helping you to get the map and find your way out of the box that you've already put yourself in.
And let me ask you a question about this, because, you know, you are now, I gave a sort of a very short description of where you are and where you are now. Now you are in the field of you are the leader in this field, or one of the leaders in this field, in terms of integrating everything you've done and helping people understand this human design system, this system which says these are the multifaceted ways that you may be operating in the world. And by the way, what is the benefit of this? What should you know about one of these? And, you know, what can you do? How do you navigate? And that's what we're going to be talking about throughout the show. I know for me, I took a look at mine here recently, and there's a little bit of information you could get, but there's nothing like walking somebody through this to say, look, if you are looking at what just showed up in a chart, and you see that in your chart you are something like pretty much a 7 and an 8, you can read about it, but you're not going to understand exactly what the heck that means. And that's what I love about what you do, Renee, because this isn't like another, let's just call it, assessment tool.
Right.
This is not that. This has so many layers of helpful information for people that if you understood this and you're confronted with a boss that says to you, I'm going to reduce your salary by $50,000, you're going to have to know how to work through that or any other life situation. But even more importantly, let me ask you about this. This understanding is to help you build the life you want, isn't it? To literally build the life you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's first to have a better understanding of yourself. The most important relationship we will ever have at any point in time is the relationship that we have with ourselves. It's the relationship that we have with ourselves in terms of understanding ourselves, of compassionately holding ourselves, of knowing how and what to do activity-wise with ourselves. And when we really get that, we can certainly engage with other people in a very different way. Until we get that piece, then we're really operating in the blind area. And that's, again, one of the great aspects of the Enneagram. When I have a sense of, wow, I'm doing this and thinking this and feeling this because of my hard wiring, I don't have to stay in this place, but I'm watching myself do this. That's why my tagline is dancing between observation and participation. It's like, can I watch it, and then can I step back in from that place of observation and then maybe shift in terms of not doing something I would typically do. I can make a change. I can pause and pivot and do something different. So merely understanding yourself is the first piece. And then engaging with other people differently is the second piece, because of that pause and pivot.
Me, when we come back, what I want to talk about is the true holistic nature of this. Because, look, when I signed on to do a radio show 17 years ago, I did not know that this would be a giant playground for me to look at myself and to really be in front of the best listening audience on the planet and get feedback from them and get feedback from producers. I had no idea this would be the place that I would have to stumble, fall, step in a pothole to learn about the very nature. The question is, what did I learn about this along the way to being that person that gets to talk with you? And what would, if I'd had this in front of me, what could I have learned sooner, Renee? Like, what pothole maybe I didn't have to fall in? What swimming pool, deep end of the swimming pool, did I jump in and I don't swim? How would this have helped me? And we're going to go through this. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about why the understanding is so essential in helping us navigate life. Renee Siegel will also talk about her show. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Join the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. Ever wonder why you want to go to the gym more, for example, but you just can't make it happen? You'll find yourself rearranging your underwear drawer instead of getting in the car. If this sounds like you, you might have caught a case of the shoulds. Maybe you think you should lose 20 pounds to fit back into your favorite pair of jeans, or that you should be healthier in general. It all sounds good, but deep down you just aren't into it. Truth is, making choices from shoulds just leads to guilt, resentment, and a whole lot of procrastination. So take a good look at your goals. Are you shoulding yourself anywhere? If so, give yourself permission to let it go. For more insights like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to support you.
Thank you. everybody, welcome back. I am so thrilled to be introducing you to Renee Siegel. Renee, before we start to talk about this amazing holistic system, I want folks to know, how do they find out more about you? Tell us about your upcoming show, and also, what is the service that you've now created to integrate? Did I create like a new word for you? Integram? Did I give you like a new brand? The Integram by Renee Siegel. Please tell people. I told you I have a strange time with words. Please tell people how they can find out more about you.
Sure. Thank you. Well, I have a website. It's urpurepotential.com. It's the letter U, the letter R, the word purepotential.com. So you can contact me through that website. I'm going to be starting my own show with you folks on May 24th at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I think I am on the second and fourth Mondays of the month, where we will be going into an intro to the Enneagram. We'll be taking a full tour of the types. We'll be looking at the centers, these centers of intelligence of thinking, emoting, and behaving. And then we will have an opportunity to hear from each one of the Enneagram types through their own narrative, the lens of their type, what their Enneagram journey has been like. So it's not just me sharing information, you're going to hear it from the source, and we're going to do that over the course of 12 weeks, and I'm just absolutely jazzed to be able to do that. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me, and there's a way that you can take a test, because everybody wants to know what their type is, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to know what their type is, and so I'm going to share a caveat, and that is that the journey to finding your type, it can be just as rich as landing on your type. We only have one type, and that type is pretty hardwired. We all have aspects of all the types. But the journey to finding your type is rich because as you begin to synthesize information and look at each of these types, you're beginning to take that inner observation journey, that self-awareness journey, the noticing, like you were talking about during breakup. You know, am I doing this or am I doing that? I mean, you have to ask yourself those questions and really look inside for those answers. So if you come up on this Enneagram test, and I'll give you a website that you can go to take a complimentary test in just a minute. If you come up and your bar graph or your numbers are close by to other numbers, just consider both of those types. Read about the types. See which ones land and resonate with you, where you feel a visceral, somatic kind of experiencing of those types. Which is right for you? And that part of the journey, that inner observation, is every bit as important as landing on your type.
And I think that this is interesting because, you know, I've talked to a number of people who have really worked with and looked at and on the journey to find their core, so to speak, to find out more about themselves. And I can tell you for me that I've taken the Enneagram test or Enneagram test from the website we're about to give out again, and I've taken it from other sites. And I have to tell you that some of the results are quite similar. 8 and 7 show up, like at the top, in no matter what I take. And then it varies a little bit. But it's also important to understand what these mean. And today we're going to go through and talk about them and talk about perhaps how we show up in the world. And because of how we show up in the world and we don't have an understanding of it, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with how we show up, and it's like, now what do I do with that? You know, is there a way that I can just, when I'm around somebody that's not like that, you know, what can I learn? Especially if you are somebody in the workplace and you're leading a team or you're working with an organization and you just wing it, so to speak, because you don't know. Or you take the long route. And over a 10-year period, perhaps you get to know the person that's going to be your predecessor. There is a much better way. Isn't that what we're talking about? Because please, don't sit. step into potholes if you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a way. It is a way to avoid certain kinds of things about ourselves. We all have aspects of ourselves that we consider becoming, that we like, that we appreciate, that we have no problem sharing with other people. And we all have aspects of ourselves that are less becoming, that are our shadow side, that we don't particularly like. And they aggravate and irritate other people more often than not, but they're still part of who we are. All of it is a part of who we are. All of it is a part of being a human being, you know, the warts, the freckles, and all the good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Everything makes us a human being. And the more aware we are of all of it, more we can sit and hold all of it, more compassion we can muster up for all of it, the less of a hold it actually has on us.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question, and we're going to talk about this more. You know, how do people find out their type? Let's make sure we mention that. And then let's talk about some of the way we self-assess. You know, is this a scenario where some of the types are more healthy than others? How does that work? But how do people, if they're listening today, where can they go and do this as we're speaking?
Okay. So there are lots and lots of Enneagram assessments that you can take. Some of them cost money. I'm going to give you one that does not cost money that you can take that's a relatively accurate assessment, and it will create a bar graph for you at the end of the assessment so that you can see how strong you are in each one of the types. And so the website is www.eclecticenergies.com. plural.com, eclecticenergies.com. There are two Enneagram tests that you can take on that site. The one that provides a lot more information than the other is test 2 with instinctual variance. And once you have your results, you can then start to YouTube or Google information about the types, especially if you land on, like, two types that are really strong. And then as you begin to look at them, you'll go, oh, this is really more me than that is me. It becomes clear and clear and clear. Just like, can I use you as an example, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, you have 7, 8, 8, 7, you keep talking about that. Well, you know, my hunch is, and from the brief amount of time that we've spent together, that you have one of those types that is your type, and the other, as you look at the Enneagram map, that is your wing that influences your type. And so the energy of one of them is stronger than the energy of the other. And, again, this is one of the things that's difficult about the Enneagram is it's a complicated system. It's a thorough system. It's a holistic system. It's a wonderful system, but it's a complicated system. So finding your type, understanding about your type, knowing that your underlying core motivations are what rule your type. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that.
Sure.
If I were to ask our listeners how many of you think it's important to be a good person, the majority of everybody would say, of course
yes.
It's important to be a good person. What are you, crazy? I think it's important to be a good person. So we get a lot of people saying, I think it's important to be a good person.
Right.
If I changed that question and said to people, why do you think it's important to be a good person? What would happen if you weren't a good person? How would your life look if you didn't consider yourself a good person? What would that mean? We're looking now not just at an answer to, is it important to be a good person, but we're looking at the core motivation for why somebody does what they do or feels what they feel or thinks what they think. And these thinking, feeling, and behavioral patterns are the ones that really dictate our type.
Well, look, I love that we're going to be digging deeply into this as we go. And, you know, I'm very clear about the fact that the more I'm learning about myself, and clearly I have not looked at this with you in depth, so let's just put that caveat out there. This is like a real live experiment conversation with Most Amazing Renee Siegel. When we come back, we're going to talk about the types, but we're also going to talk about what to do and not do when you get your type. Don't fall in the pit that many of us fell in with other assessments like the Myers-Briggs, where you got your type and you boss freaked out that you were an INFP. That's for real for me. I almost lost my job over that situation. That's not the Enneagram. That's not what we're talking about today. This is about understanding, implementing, taking action, and knowing what to do. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're also taking your questions, everybody. 1-800-930-2819. If you have taken the test, and maybe you got something you want to talk to Renee about, come on, give us a shout. Or over on Facebook, give us a question. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. During all care hero journeys, the need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge care heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's care hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
The truth is funny. This happened with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Epchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You know, okay, so I am here with the most amazing Renee Siegel. She is an expert in Enneagram and what we're talking about today, but she's also much more. I mentioned she was a counselor. She's somebody that understands the multifaceted nature of our culture and our lives and works with people, you know, pretty much all over the world. And when we're talking about a tool like the Enneagram today, I just shared with her and during the break, I have taken the Enneagram test from the website we gave out today, and I've taken it from another site. But one of the things that comes true, there are some of the types that come up for me that are fairly consistent in both. The question really is, what are the types? Let's take a tour of the types. But let me just say this to you. This is unlike any other assessment type you've gotten. This is not going to be one of those assessments that causes you to cringe, because you can learn out about how this works, especially in Enneagram Conversations upcoming podcast series with Renee. You'll be able to call in. You'll be able to take your test. You'll be able to ask her questions. You'll be able to ... and understand it. For me, when they were reviewing my chart during the break, and I can't remember Renee's exact words, but there was something that required an advanced conversation, which we're not doing today. But I promise you, if it's of interest to you, Renee will come back and we'll take a look at what that means. Renee, what's the best website for people to find out more about you?
You are purepotential.com, letter U, letter R, the word purepotential.com. And it has some information about my practice, my counseling and coaching practice. I specialize in three areas, addictions, long-term recovery addictions, relationships, personal and professional relationships, and wellness, overall wellness kinds of strategies for people who are trying to incorporate wellness in their life and don't want to stay on lots of mood-altering medications to make that happen.
Boy, I got to tell you, we need that right now.
We sure do.
The numbers are coming out. You know, this is a profession, and, you know, I have been a coach and mentor in the recovery arena for over 30 years, and I have never seen such numbers ever for women, ever. And I'm concerned.
Yeah. So we're going to take a tour of the types and give you a little information about each one of the types. So a question that was asked last segment that we didn't answer, is there one type that's healthier than another?
Oh, boy.
No. There are health types that are healthier than another. And piggybacking on that question, are certain types more likely to get along with others than others? And healthy types get along with healthy types. So within each of our types, as we do with this tour of the types, you'll find that as I'm giving these descriptions, I'm giving descriptions of an average person. By the time you've collected as many life experiences as I have in this stage of my life, I've certainly done a fair amount of work on myself. So even though I will describe to you my type, I'll describe to you the average experience of my type. And I would like to say that I've done a lot of work, and I'm not the average experience of my type right now. I'm a healthier version of that. So if you think of a slinky, you know, the old toy, a slinky,
I love the slinkies.
Yeah, it's kind of like we really kind of expand ourselves as we really see past our types, and we're not so hardwired and super glued to the patterns of our type. So we're going to go around and talk about the types chronologically from 1 to 9. And type 1 is called the perfectionist. It sits in the body triad, meaning that the area of intelligence, the center of intelligence that it operates from, is body intelligence or intuition, a sense of how do I access information from an experience in my body, in my human body, and instinctive or intuitive intelligence. We have heart intelligence, belly or intuitive intelligence, and head intelligence. And more often than not, we talk about head intelligence. So when we talk Enneagram language and we do this tour of the types, we're going to talk about which center each one of these types sits. Mm-hmm. So one sits in the instinctual or body-belly type of intelligence, The focus is on what needs to be corrected in the world, where there is error. There's a lot of internal dialogue. Lots of types have internal dialogue. We all have an internal critic, but a one has an internal committee criticizing things. So they have a lot of going on upstairs about what needs attention for correction, what's right or wrong. They can, in a very low level, they can be very moralistic and very judgmental. At a very high level, one can just see the absolute symphony of perfection in the world. So just to show you the bandwidth of hell. Type 2s are called the givers. That is the type that I, God bless you, resonate with. And it's the helper or the giver. And their focus of it, they are in the heart triad. They come from a place where they feel their way in the world. They emote their way in the world. They're sensate feelings in our belly, but feelings that we're talking about, emotional feelings right now. Type 2's focus of attention is generally on other people, on other people's needs. So they're, even though they're in the heart triad, they're not as aware of their own emotional experience as they are deeply aware of other people's emotional experiences. Hence, at their lowest level, they can be martyrs and codependent. And at their highest levels, they can truly serve and be very giving, nurturing, loving, generous people without any need to get something in return. A type 3 is a doer, or that we call them the performer. They have the tagline of they're human doings instead of human beings. They like to get her done. We have a culture of kind of get her done. You know, a lot of the focus of attention is on productivity and efficiency. This type sits in the heart triad as well, but even though it sits in the heart triad, there is a tendency to see emotions as messy and getting in the way of getting things done. Mm-hmm.
I saw where this showed up in my chart, and I was a little confused about it, not because I didn't understand it, but because of what you're saying right now, and because of some of the other things that show up. That's why it's so important to sit down and work with you, because if I look at my life right now, and you ask me where am I in my life right now, and I answer those questions, I would bet to say that if I really thought about it, Renee, I don't think I'm any different now than I was when I was younger. I just didn't have the sense of being able to get the things done that I wanted to get done. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because I find that when you look at each type individually, it's one thing, but hopefully we'll get to you talking about when you look at how these come out side by side as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The skills and the resources that we gather as we gain life experiences generally have us far more prepared to manage certain things in our lives, you know, as we get older. And so our threes, our human doings, our performers, their focus of attention is not on their emotions, even though they are in the heart triad and they are very sensitive. Our type fours are the last type in the heart triad. They also come from a place of resorting to and leaning into that deep emotional experience. They oftentimes feel misunderstood. They are the one type within the heart triad that are deeply focused on an emotional, intense emotional experience. For many people, that's very uncomfortable because our society doesn't generally respect and appreciate the deep, intense emotional experiences that people have. And fours can bask in the sweetness of even sadness. They really love the emotionality of anything. On their low side, they can be drama kings and queens, and on their high side, they can be expressive artists who are just sharing their incredible creativity with the world. Our fives are a head triad. They're the first of the head triad, and they're often called the investigator. Oh, I didn't give you the name for the four. The four could be the romantic or the individualist. The And by the way, there's lots of names for each one of these types, depending on whose school you study under. The five, often called the observer or the investigator, is looking at facts. They really see, they mentally map things, they gather information, they see information as power. Information is potent and powerful, and they gather information in an effort to avoid fear and uncertainty in the world. So they're oftentimes the brainiacs of the Enneagram, not always, but if you look at some of the brightest and most eccentric people in the world, oftentimes they're type 5s. Type 6s have a relationship, they're also a head type, they have a relationship with fear, call them the loyal skeptic or the loyalist. They oftentimes are very duty-bound. They manage fear by either challenging authority and plunging through their fear or stepping back from and avoiding fear. They play out worst-case scenarios. They second-guess things. They play the devil's advocate, examining pros and cons of everything. Our sevens, which we might call the enthusiasts, are adventurers. I think there's actually a school that even calls them the adventurists. They reframe everything. The glass is always not only half full, the glass is teeming over the top. Life is an adventure filled with possibility and options, and please do not step on my options. A low-level experience of the seven is that they will avoid pain and be really superficial. And the highest expression of a seven is to really move through that deep pain and still be able to reframe something coming out of the other side of a really difficult experience moving through it. Our eights are called the boss, the maverick, and they are a body triad. They're the first type in the body triad. It actually starts 8, 9, and 1, but we started chronologically with 1. Our eights are intuitive. They're all or nothing. They are the one type in the Enneagram that are seriously comfortable with the energy of anger. Anger is just really not anything to be upset about. In fact, they can manage and feel anger in their body, or maybe not manage it. That's a higher level experience of an eight. Usually lower level eights don't manage anger very well. They're very intimidating to people around them. But as they grow more aware of themselves, they can modulate that energy. They come in with this big burst of energy everywhere they go. They can't sneak into a room at all. They blast into a room even if they don't intend to. But they're great leaders and very able to be like spiritual warriors. And our nines are the peacemakers. They're also a body type. They manage anger by being passive aggressive. They would rather go along to get along and not rock the boat. We call them kind of sleepy at times because they often forget their own needs. They'll set their own needs aside in service of the group just to keep things going along and moving slowly. And that is the fastest tour of the types I've ever given. This is just meant to whet your appetite and pique your interest, because we could talk about each one of these types for a month.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing more of this because I'm going to put this out for our team here to do this and take it. But I was fascinated because I've been talking, people don't know this, but you and I have been talking for weeks now. And we've gotten to know each other, and I've gotten to know the power of what you do and, you know, how you walk people through what the potential potholes are. You know, because you're this, nothing to be concerned about, but this is something you should know about and be aware of. Some of the things you described and what came up in my chart, and let's go ahead and skip the break, Olivia and Benny. When you described the part about anger, it was really interesting to me. I could walk into a room and sound like I'm furious at you, and I'm really not. But there's something in my voice, the way that I'm talking about it as a leader of the team, that is very intense. And this is a part of me that I've tried to really look at. you know, there's a level of intensity. I grew up in an environment where there's interesting things in my performance review. But I don't even have to say a word, and people might say to me, man, you look really unapproachable. I'm just thinking. I don't really have anything going on about thinking about you. I just got something going on in my mind. But you said something interesting. These are not one size fits all. They're not just, this is your thing. It's understanding these in the context of everything in it. Because I will tell you this, while I don't really have thoughts about my own level of anger, I can have a moment of anger at a political thing. And if you ask me about it 30 seconds from that moment, I probably couldn't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I am like a sponge around other people's angers and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been an interesting dynamic for me. It's like I can be passionate or talk to you about something I read in the headline, and you'll call me later, and you're still thinking about it. I'm like, what did I say, Renee?
You're done. You're done.
I'm done. But when it comes to the absorption, and so tell me how we get to learn about that interesting dynamic and where that would show up in somebody's assessment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a type is just where we begin. When you find you land on a type, like you land on an 8 or a 7, there's so many other parts of it. Like I said, this is a very slow and deliberate and long time journey. One of the reasons I was so attracted to this process was that the more I knew about it, the more I realized I didn't know. So it was like one of those things that was like ancient wisdom traditions where you scratch the surface and it's like, oh, this is really juicy. What does that mean and what does this mean? So as somebody who resonates with a certain type, I also have a subtype. A subtype is an expression of my type and that talks about whether or not I really enjoy spending maybe a lot of time by myself or a lot of time engaging with other people or a lot of time being involved in organizations or a lot of time just with my beloved alone, that one sacred special person in my life. Each one of the types has a subtype, which is where those instinctual variants in the Enneagram test that I gave you, it gives you not just your type, but it'll give you that instinctual variant. Those instinctual variants are a sexual variant, which has very little to do with sexuality, but it has to do with having a special relationship and bonding with a significant other. Social subtypes, which is not just about being in organizations, but how well you do in groups or what a cause, maybe a cause that you feel compelled to participate in. And a self-preservation aspect, which is, you know, just the need to kind of pull in and be away from or have your own provisions or you know, feel the set of circumstances all by yourself. These color our experience for each one of our types, and those may shift as our life changes, although our type doesn't change. So just as in, there's a lot of controversy over what I'm about to say in the Enneagram world.
Yes.
I have a strong belief about this, and that is that just thinking about getting older, I travel differently with things in my suitcase today than I would when I was 20. If I lost a pair of flip-flops and I was traveling and got off the plane, I just go to Walgreens and get a new pair of flip-flops. If I lost my flip-flops that have a good arch in them and I knew I was going to hike up somewhere or go for a really long walk, I'd be a little bit more aggravated today than I would have been when I was 20. So there's a more of a self-movement towards being self-preserved as we age. That doesn't mean that I lead with a self-preservation.
Yeah.
So our subtypes color all of our types. The work we've done on ourselves colors all of our types.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what's exciting, and I know you're going to be working with our team here at the network. And it's interesting. I sent a little ping out, and I sent the link to both Linda and Jessica to fill out. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Livy has already done it. And, you know, what's interesting is not to start to have a dialogue with other people about what you see and what you think. I think it's so important to save this time and space sacredly to work with someone like you, because things can be misunderstood. You know, if you show up and you're an eight and somebody else shows up as something that's like has eight at the bottom, it's an immediate characteristic that you want to point out. And yet you really do need to understand this, when in fact that may be the exact team member you need. Mm-hmm. That may be the person you need. Because if there are all me's on the team, we're not getting anything done.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We had that in an Enneagram organization where we were missing one type, and as soon as we added that person to our board, all of the dilemmas that we were facing, went away.
Now, Linda has not done hers, and Jessica was very quick to finish hers, and I'm not going to talk about them on air. That's really personal. But I would venture to say that when we look at each of us on the team, there will be an in-depth understanding. Every team needs that analyzer type. Every team needs that person that's going to say something or ask a question where the whole team is rallying around the whole booyah, and that person's going to come in and say, but what if the tree you're planting doesn't get enough water where you're planting it? How will you make sure it gets irrigated every day? And everybody looks at that person like, are you seriously asking us that question right now? Are you kidding me? We're halfway through. We're really excited. And you're bringing up this problem, but every team needs it. We wouldn't be here today without that type of person on our team. And we have two of them, I think.
Yeah. And you know, in certain occupations, that's less important than in others. I mean, there are certain occupations that are pretty likely to have, you know, I mean, I want a perfectionist to do my surgery.
You know,
I'm very interested in having somebody who's very detailed, and that doesn't mean it necessarily needs to be a type one.
Right.
But, you know, it could be a type five, so somebody paying a lot of attention to the facts and the details. And that person may not have the best bedside manner, but if that's going to keep me alive and the precision and the attention that's paid to that detail is there. So we have these innate capacities to offer these gifts. Each one of these types has a spiritual essential.
Exactly.
We didn't even touch on the spiritual aspects of the Enneagram. The Enneagram is over the underpinnings of this theory are over 2,000 years old.
And that's why I brought it up, Renee, because I wanted to bring that out. I wanted to bring out why this is so different and how it's so different, because the other assessments that I've taken were not. They were really assessments that say, this is who you are, this is who your team is, you got to go through some behavioral modification, with no understanding about the spiritual nature of this.
Right.
You know, about how you bring a team together and you honor what each person brings to the team and you see the value in that, but you also understand the hiccups of yourself. Like me looking at this for myself and what showed up on my chart is, you know, especially when I think about, well, what are the potholes that I step in as being like this? And I hope that in the next time you come back, we talk about this. But you're also going to cover the spiritual nature of this on your show. So tell us about that. Tell us about how people work with you directly, how they can get an assessment that helps them understand a life path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the show is going to cover, in our 12 episodes, it's going to cover basic information about the Enneagram and its spiritual underpinnings and where it kind of came from, these centers of intelligence, these portals that we talked about, head, heart, and body, and it's going to talk about each one of the nine types in greater depth. Again, beginning on May 24th at 4 p.m., Enneagram Conversations. And you can reach me, Renee Siegel, at urpurepotential.com, the letter R, purepotential.com. I believe in the contact. It offers you a brief consultation with me at no charge. So if you'd like more information, I'd be happy to speak with you. I counsel and coach right now. My practice is almost full. I have room for one more person until mid-June. And because I only work with X number of people because I teach and train. And then I, as they move on, I bring in somebody else because we work in really intense ways. Specializing in three areas, long-term addictions recovery, personal and professional relationships, and developing unique paths to wellness.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Round the Sound. Now still on 4-5 on the east side, 4-5 in both directions. Right around Northeast Park Drive, it's heavy, but everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Just a small stop-and-go issue in both directions there. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Coffee with the Universe and Laura Goldstein. Come home to yourself. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A North Carolina DA is defending his decision to not charge the officers involved in the shooting death of a black man.
There will be folks who are not happy with this decision. Sometimes I make popular decisions, and I make unpopular decisions, and I signed up for all of them.
District Attorney Andrew Womble released body cam video into the death of Andrew Brown Jr. and said the officers' actions were justified. Pascagoula County Sheriff's deputies shot and killed Brown when he tried to drive away while they served a drug search and arrest warrant last month. Womble insisted Brown tried to run over officers during the arrest and pushed back against questions about whether the officers should have simply let Brown go. Top White House COVID advisor Andy Slavitt is urging young Americans to get vaccinated against coronavirus. He told reporters that vaccines have led to a dramatic reduction in hospitalizations and deaths from the virus. Everyone 12 and above is now eligible to get vaccinated. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
Hi, break time? I know you. I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. I try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive results should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on.
Excellent.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. We'll see some morning sunshine turning to cloudy skies and some showers later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 59, 60 degrees. We'll also have a little bit of wind out of the south to southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting up to 30 in selected areas. Tonight, clouds and light showers still hanging around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday, start things out, clouds and showers again. Highs around 59, 60. Tapering off to partly cloudy skies by Wednesday night. Lows down to about 44. Thursday, much of the same. Clouds in the afternoon, mostly clear skies by Thursday night. Highs around 63.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you tired of making decisions that don't reflect who you are or where you want to be? Life is busy and worry, stress, trying to keep up with the shoulds and need tos, and the constant pressure to please others just pulls you away from being you and doing you. Well, welcome to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein, a coming home to yourself. As a psychotherapist, professional psychic, spiritual teacher, influential speaker, and adventurer, we'll have fun and practical conversations around how to know and listen to the soul part of yourself. During this live call-in show, Laura will engage the real you with card pulls, share guidance from the universe, and help you Let go of the past so you can make choices that reflect your greater purpose to be who you were created to be. Grab your favorite cup of joe, come sit down with Laura, and let's start the journey. Coffee with the Universe starts now. Hello, hello. Welcome to Coffee with the Universe, where we have conversations around coming home to yourself, to who you are at soul level, and the peace within. This is a live call-in show, so if you'd like to speak to myself or to my guest, Joanna, today, or if you're watching on the Facebook page, please feel free to comment on Facebook or give us a call at 1-800-930-2819. We have a little bit of a change of format today. As you know, I've been experimenting with this show, and I've had guests, and then I did some by myself. And so today, we're actually going to do part interview style with my wonderful guest, and then I'm going to finish up just kind of commenting and digging deeper maybe on some of the key points myself. So we have a little bit of change here, and we're just going to kind of go with the flow. All right, today's show is about listening to your body. So when I first started doing traditional psychotherapy, I approached it from a cognitive behavioral point of view because that's kind of what we were taught, you know? If you change your thoughts, you change your life, right? But I had clients that would present with anxiety and depression, which you would kind of expect in a psychotherapy environment, but a lot of them also had severe like body pain and illness, like unexplained back pain or like fibromyalgia. That was like a real popular one. So they were coming to solve like their midlife crisis problem or whatever it is they were coming to therapy for, but their body was also speaking loudly to them. And so I began to understand that when my clients couldn't communicate or weren't listening to their inner voice, their body took over and began to speak for them. So I do believe it's essential when you are trying to get unstuck from something or you're struggling, you really need to get whatever is in your mind, that gunk out of your mind, yes, but you also need to get that stuck energy out of your body so it's not sitting in there and festering. And as I was thinking about this topic, I'm like, who knows just as much or maybe more in a different way about this topic than I do, and that is my friend Joanna, who is not just my friend, but she's also an amazing holistic nutritionist and practitioner, and I'm not going to try and do her justice by introducing her. I'm just going to let her introduce herself. So, Joanna, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Lauren, hi everyone. I am Joanna Hadarasta, and I am an intuitive nutrition therapy coach. So I'm an inflammation expert. I recently have become the expert on arthritis and this whole topic of the hidden emotions behind the body pain. My hip has been the hidden emotions from childhood, and really it's been a journey not just through the anti-inflammatory diet, but really listening to, okay, well, what does my body really need today? What does my body want me to do in this moment now? And it's really been a journey of listening to that, and that's what I do with my clients too. Is I, you know, not only do I do the nutrition part, because nutrition is such a huge foundation to one's health, but the emotional, the spiritual, the mental layers, those are all related to our overall health. And as the practitioner, I'm learning through my own experience how to help others through their experiences and really help them connect to who they are and what they're supposed to do for themselves. I don't give them advice. It's just really, like Laura said, kind of removing the layers, identifying where the energy is stifled, so that they can actually connect to their own inner wisdom that was stifled because of their childhood experiences.
I know a lot of people come to you because they are athletes and they're aware that they are experiencing pain, but it's amazing to me
the amount of people who don't even consider, like, their body pain, that it is an extension of maybe childhood issues or, like, stuck emotions or repressed things. It's like that it's all separate. You know, my body is separate. You know, it's my mind that's having the problem.
Yeah, well, and that's, most people come to me either for GI issues or for pain. I mean, those are the two biggest things. You know, some people come in for weight loss too, but, you know, it's really helping them to realize that, okay, first we'll work on that physical layer, because, yes, an anti-inflammatory diet is definitely going to knock down the pain. But then it's really going through those layers that surface. And as a practitioner, it's like I listen to what the client says, and it's like, let's talk about that stressor. Tell me a little bit more about that pain and the things that happened around that pain. Like, give me a little bit of a scenario to paint a picture for me of what happened. And based on what they say, it's like they'll talk about a fear or a stressor, and they don't even realize that they've got the stressor. And then we dive deeper to find out where did that come from. And it always comes from childhood, or sometimes it's from a previous life. Or hereditary imprints, so that we have these belief systems stuck into our mind, but it's also stuck into our tissues, as they say. Our issues are stuck in our tissues.
It's interesting. I mean, we've been friends for a long time now, meeting on LinkedIn. My gosh, out of, like, all the places to meet somebody was LinkedIn. I don't think I've, like, met anybody else.
I haven't either, not to this degree.
on LinkedIn, and it's interesting. I think we clicked because the work that we do comes from that same philosophy, but it's almost like the reason why our clients see us are reversed. Like, they come to you because they're experiencing body pain, and you start to make the emotional connection. They come to see me because, you know, they're feeling like life is slipping away, and, you know, what is meaningful in my life, and what about my goals? It's like they come for that emotional distress, and then we make connection to the body pain that they're experiencing.
Yeah. So we end up kind of getting to the same place, but, yeah, mine are all usually they have an idea that maybe there's something more than just the physical, but they really need, like, you know what, I have to start taking care of me, and it's got to be this nutrition stuff. And every time I talk to them about, you know, their health history or things that went on, I always ask about stress. And stress is always a trigger for the pain or the GI distress or really almost any health issue. But it's really going deeper and helping them make that connection between, okay, maybe some of it is the food that you're eating, and an anti-inflammatory diet is definitely going to help. But until we address some of those other layers, you may not feel the full benefit of the physical things that you want to reverse.
Yeah, because it's all connected. And it was so interesting to see the facial expression of some of my clients. And this is when I was kind of transitioning into more of like the holistic psychotherapy. I would ask them about, like, their diet. Well, what are you eating? And they'd be like, well, what does that have to do with my trauma? You know, why are we talking about that? You know, I'm here because I'm upset and I'm struggling, and why are you asking me about my diet? And it's like, well, you have to realize that it's all connected. And I'm to the point now where I believe that in order to successfully get to where you want to go, no matter, like, what your goal is, you have to work with the mind, the body, and the soul level piece. Otherwise, you're like trying to complete a puzzle with only like a third of the pieces.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like you're missing some of the puzzle pieces, you know? And so that's part of what you and I do from slightly different angles. But yeah, if you're, I always tell people, it's like if you're only working on the physical part, you're only getting personal healing. You're only going to get, you know, so far before the issues are going to resurface, because you didn't address the emotional component. You know, the emotional eating, that's all triggered by stress. But what's triggering the stress? And can we reframe that stress so it's not a stress? And can we give you permission to actually enjoy the food that you're choosing, even if it is a chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah.
you know? Like, and that actually came up in a conversation with a client this weekend. You know, it's like, why something, I can't remember exactly the question, but my response was, because you didn't give yourself permission yet to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were suddenly like, wow, okay, so this is like some a mental, emotional component that I never even thought. I just thought it was, you know, me being stupid, you know, eating junk because it was easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time that I started to make a connection between emotional health and physical body pain, the body is like, it's super dense. And I feel like our body is our last resort communicator. Like when we're not listening to ourselves, when we're not, you know, heeding like our own warnings, like that voice within, our body is like, yo, what the F you doing?
Right. It's kind of like, all over the place, like trying to get your attention.
Yes. So it's like, well, I'm just going to start giving you pain and suffering and things like that. And when I started to make this connection, because in my early psychotherapy days, I did a lot of trauma work. So I would get women who were usually in like domestic violent situations. And something that a lot of them had in common with chronic urinary tract infections or bladder issues. And there was this connection between, I am in this romantic sexual relationship with someone who is toxic and abusive, and I am suffering from bladder, like chronic bladder issues and UTIs, but I'm not making the connection. And what my work and your work does is it's like, okay, well, this is really like a second chakra. I use the chakras, though. I'll talk about that. Yeah, I know you do too, and you have some other tools which we'll get to. But it's like, okay, this is a second chakra issue. This is about your love, like romantic connection, but that's also where your reproductive organs live. You know, it's all connected. So
yeah,
when I started seeing that, it was like, oh, duh, click, click. This is something. This is real.
Yeah, and a lot of times with that second chakra too, it's also, that's the creativity chakra. You know, mm-hmm. it's about creativity and, you know, fertility of new ideas. So mm-hmm. sometimes you just feel stuck in that one space. And yeah, bladder issues can also be a GI microbiome imbalance as well. I mean, there's so many things that it can be. So it's interesting how we kind of work through the different layers, and I call it like the complex matrix of the physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental layers, because it's really complex. And, you know, I could come up with a program that would be like, okay, everybody's going to do this, this, and this. But the challenge is that everybody processes all those layers differently. And when it comes to nutrition, it's not calories in, calories out. It's not being on a specific, you know, protocol and saying, you must do this, and it's got to be to the T, and it's got to be exactly, you know, this many calories. You know what? It's more complicated than that. And it's really more intricate, because if you're not enjoying the food, if you're not actually slowing down to chew the food, if you're not actually, if you're feeling belittled because, oh, I'm eating a salad and whoever you're with is, you know, eating normally, then you feel deprived. And so then you're going to process that meal differently. And people don't realize that it's all these little layers that are all kind of included. And those emotional triggers lead to mental triggers, which lead to more disconnection and more isolation, and really isolated from who you are and feeling like you're alone and not supported.
Yeah, you certainly work with the food piece more extensively than I do. I mean, I definitely talk about the impact of sugar, you know, sometimes dairy, like those inflammatory foods, soy, a lot of gluten, crap processed products. I talk about that on when it comes to anxiety, creating, you know, problems sleeping, things like that, inflammation in the body. But you definitely go into that at a much deeper level. And there's a lot of psychology wrapped up in food. I mean, it's almost like you have to get over that hump, the thinking of, oh, my God, if I never eat bread again, what will I ever eat as if there's nothing else in the world? It's like you have to get over that hump before you can even then address some of the other more significant issues.
Yeah, well, when I had to give up wheat for the first time, I was working with a nutritionist, and I had adrenal exhaustion at the time, and my gut was a complete mess. My digestion, my whole life was a mess. And that nutritionist basically said, I want you to go off of wheat, and just said that. Didn't give me any direction. And I literally, like, starved for a week or two because I was like, what do I eat? So now when I work with clients, it's like, okay, let's go through what foods did you eat that are wheat, and let's find the appropriate alternative so that you don't feel deprived. Because deprivation is not the solution to helping you heal on all the levels. It's really just like, okay, so now I can't eat with everybody else, so now I'm going to feel even more alone. Mm-hmm. And then that triggers more emotional eating, and then it's just like this endless spiral. So it's really about giving more alternatives, and now there's so many more good-tasting alternatives than what I had to deal with 20 years ago, where everything non-wheat tasted like cardboard.
This is true. This is true. Okay, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, like, sometimes we just need to communicate directly with the body. We get a lot of fear, resistance, a lot of self-sabotaging tendencies, whether we're focusing on the emotional piece first or the body piece first. We all know we get in our own way. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And also, I'm going to ask Joanna to talk about some of the tools that she uses to help sort through those different layers and to help communicate with the body to maybe uncover things that her clients aren't making the connections to. This is a reminder, it is a live call-in show. If you want to talk to us, feel free to dial in 1-800-930-2819. Or if you're watching on Facebook and you'd like to ask your question through the chat, please do so. We will see you after the break. Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com. Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com. Welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. We're talking about the physical body, how aches, pains, illness, things like anxiety, disease, cancer, is really speaking to us. What?
GI distress.
Oh, GI distress, yes, that too, is really speaking to us in a way that's kind of a bit of a wake-up call because we aren't listening to ourselves, we aren't dealing with maybe repressed old emotions. There's something not right that we're not hearing, so our body is kicking in. And sometimes we do need to communicate directly with the body because, you know, we may not make that connection, but also resistance pops up, fear. We get in our own way. Sometimes we're afraid of what needs to be done in order to solve the problem. So I'm going to ask Joanna to share some of the tools in her toolbox. And a lot of the reason why I think we're such good friends is because we do enjoy some of the same tools, like our Oracle and Tarot and the chakras. We were just having this conversation about appropriately pronouncing chakra. You know, we use some of the same tools, but she has a couple different ones that she uses. So I'm just going to hand this over to Joanna, the second segment, and just let her share with you some of the fun things, because it is fun, that she uses to support her clients. So share away.
Thank you. So I do have actually a lot, but I'm gonna kind of give you a client at a time and kind of give you a scenario of how I work with them. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a client that came in, and intuitively, I know what questions to ask to kind of get to the underlying issue. So, yeah, the clients give me their whole food logs and things like that. But in this one conversation, we had I had said something about, you know, there's an issue with digestion. And immediately the client's like, I haven't digested life since I was 7. Okay. So it was kind of like, okay, I know that this is an issue, and I know that the client's also aware to a certain degree, but then they don't know how to get out of it, which is part of what we're trying to do. I did some of the nutrition response testing, which is really testing the energy of the body, and it was also her digestion there was off. And it turned out that the thing that was triggering it, it wasn't a food item. It wasn't a toxicity issue. It wasn't a heavy metal. It wasn't any kind of fungus, immune challenge, bacteria. It ended up being a scar that was never healed. And in her case, I was just saying, you know, scars can be as simple as the umbilical cord. That's also considered a scar. But stress will actually reactivate a scar, so then it's not fully healed, and then the energy is not working the way it should be through the central nervous system. I mentioned this the scar thing, and she's like, just poured out this whole story about her C-sections and not being supported, and something else, and something, you know. And it was the first time where she had that connection of, this is my physical issue, but emotionally, I have not been feeling supported by all these people, including myself,
now it's time for me to get that support, which is why I'm here. And a week later, she sends me an email just mentioning how as quickly as after that session, her digestion hasn't been an issue at all. No GI distress whatsoever, because we were able to identify what the underlying issue really was.
It's amazing how fast this process works. It's like if you can properly diagnose what that underlying root cause is and like what it's connected to, and you know, then you use all the funsies to resolve it, it's amazing how quickly that happens.
Yeah, and for some people like her, it happens bam like that, because she's also very intuitive and very aware. I have other clients that fight that intuition, so trying to help them get to that place. Like I have some clients that they're coming to me for anxiety and you know, major GI distress. We did the stool analysis, yet sometimes it's a trigger that they don't know what the reason is. I know that they're disconnected from expressing themselves fully. I know intuitively that they've suppressed some aspects of themselves because of the divorce that their parents had gone through. And when we did the nutrition response testing for them, it was all liver issues, but liver isn't about, oh, you've got a problem with your liver. It's anger and rage. And that anger and rage was all because of the experiences and the emotional impact that she experienced during the divorce of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part where I know that that's there, but I also know that they don't really feel that safe talking about their emotions as openly as you and I do. You
right.
know, or like that one client that I just mentioned. So in those kinds of cases, I will use oracle cards, and I have literally like 20 decks. And I have some that are just the simple Path to Heal decks and others that are oracle cards. And sometimes I'll just be like, you know, I get that I have to pull a card. And the card that I just picked, maybe this is what we need, is fearlessness.
Fearless.
You know, I am fearless to follow my heart, you know. And I release all painful defenses. Isn't that what you just were talking about? I release painful defenses while existing on my divinely lit path to enlightenment and joy. And a lot of times, just pulling the card will start a conversation that they may not have recognize or realize that was pertinent to them.
Hello, Kat. Yeah, I talk about
and
that.
The cat comes in just to kind of give you that emotional support.
Yeah, Giovanni always makes a presence when I'm on Zoom. What was I going to say? Oh, the card. The card is great. I almost feel like the resistance to looking at things is like a separate issue. You almost have to like get through that layer first, and if you can get through that resistance with a client, then the process is a lot quicker. I mean, it's a pretty, you know, it can be resolved pretty quickly. But the cards are brilliant because it's like the card is speaking, and it worked wonders with my teenage clients too, because
yeah.
they'd be like, oh, the card said, it wasn't me saying it, it wasn't a parent, it wasn't authority, it was like a card, therefore it's like safe. So that cracks
right.
me, like, I'll just pull a card.
And it also makes it fun, you know, and so it's like it makes it a little bit more playful because the cards, you know, you and I know the cards never lie.
Mm-hmm.
So they really don't. And, you know, some people are like, well, how can that be true? Like one client picks the fertility card and every single time, especially women, you know, in their in over 40 and they've already had their kids or, you know, like you and I who aren't going to have them, you get the fertility and you're like, ah, and it's no. It's about fertility of ideas. It's about that second chakra and that sexuality and really putting the passion back into your activities. And doing things for yourself and leading from the heart. So sometimes those cards just make it a lot more playful, and it helps to resonate better with the client and helps them feel safe, like you said.
Mm-hmm. You talked about some kind of response, nutrition response testing. Did I use the right words there?
That's exactly what it's called, nutrition response testing.
That's what I thought.
Applied kinesiology or muscle testing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted you to explain that because I don't think that many, at least in my experience, that many nutritionists use that. You go to a nutritionist and they're like, oh, you need to be eating low fat, no fat, you know, high fiber, but and they just kind of give you a meal plan. But we're all built differently, and just like different, you know, different foods work for each of us in a different way. Like there's things that you can eat that I can't eat and vice versa. So I feel like that's such a key component to your work in diagnosing things.
And just to make it clear, I don't actually diagnose anything. I just kind of like, you know, if something comes up with the adrenals, then it's like, you know, people get freaked out and they're like, oh my God, I got something with my adrenals. I'm like, no. There's just an energy imbalance going on. And then I can test some foods to see if the energy of these foods are going to help the situation or do we need a supplement that works for it. So the nutrition response testing, you know, basically I'm using your arm as a lever. It's an indicator of yes or no. And strong is usually a positive thing and weak is meaning that the energy isn't supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just run through the whole body first to find out, you know, where are the blocks of energy and which one's the priority. And then we work through identifying first off what's causing it. And sometimes, like I said, it's a stress. That like even today I did I worked on a client and everything was good until we got to the kidneys. And then it turned out to be plastic. And you know, usually it's like, okay, are you drinking water from plastic jars? Are you cooking in plastic containers or in the microwave? Those are usually, you know, nobody's consuming plastic, you know, at least not consciously. But in order to get those plastic byproducts in the body, it's typically food heated in plastic containers, either in the microwave. And it turns out he's like, you know, I've been drinking water, even the water that gets warm in the car that's in the plastic bottle. And it's like, well, there is the issue. It's like, yeah, it's contributing to this something. And he said, yeah, I just recently started like having issues with I'm going to the bathroom all the time. It's because the body's trying to clear this toxicity. And it's just as simple as, you know what? Get a glass bottle, refill it with water, because if that glass bottle gets hot and the water gets hot, you've just got hot water. And it's not an issue if it's in a glass container. Or bring a cooler to keep it cool. So it's really fun to kind of use that as a tool. And it's really, and with supplements and foods, it's going through those foods and testing the energy of the food. Does it match the energy of you? And if it doesn't match and make you stronger, then it's going to make you weaker. And it's going, and that is, you're looking, most everybody wants to feel better. So this is just one way to help you feel better, to match the foods with your body's energy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's very similar to kind of what I teach people, except I refer more to actions. Like when we take action and we make choices in our life that's out of alignment to our natural strengths, to who we are at soul level, to our values, things go wonky, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a mismatch and all hell breaks loose on the inside. And it's interesting that food can also do that exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, and really all I'm doing is actually bringing awareness to what the issue may be. You know, sometimes people are totally unaware of how they're eating and how their body responds to the foods that they eat. And once I give them permission to actually enjoy the food and chew a little bit differently and actually set up the table so that they actually sit down and enjoy the meal, all of a sudden things that they were eating are like, I don't actually like this. My body just revolts. I never realized I was so stressed before that I didn't realize that I was choosing foods that were actually making me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very insightful when you realize, like, what is out of alignment. And a lot of times I think we're taught that we should be pushing for something. Well, I should be eating this because it's a, quote, superfood. Well, I should be, you know, working overtime because that's what it's going to take to be successful. You know, we treat ourselves, but then when we step back and look at what is not aligning to me, it's like, you know what, this never really did.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of what I do is really eliminating those food rules and, you know, the rules of whoever. It's really helping you connect to the rules of your own body, you know, and what it is that your body wants at that very moment. You know, if you want a cheeseburger, enjoy the hell out of the cheeseburger. There should be no shame or guilt about eating a cheeseburger, especially if that's like one of your favorite foods on the planet, you know. But, I shouldn't be eating that for, okay, why? You know, and that's a lot of times I have to go into that conversation, like, why? Let's dive into that belief system, because that belief system is actually making that food something that's going to cause you to feel sick with. And it is going to cause some physical issue, whether it's body pain. And it could be, like my client the other day, it could be the back pain where you don't feel supported because you're not actually supporting yourself in your own food choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Or you're not supporting yourself in actually enjoying your decisions.
Yeah. It's such fascinating stuff. We could talk for hours on this, which we often do on our weekly or biweekly chats. All right, so we're running out of time. We're about finishing up the little second segment here of this show. So can you, how can people, like, if they want to reach out to you, how would they do that? Do you have anything to share with people? Please do tell.
I could share so many things, but easiest thing is go to www.nutritioninmotion.net. If it's not .net, you might get the Des Moines, Iowa, or New Hampshire location, or Canada. So nutritioninmotion.net. But I also have five steps to easing emotional triggers, which can be very helpful for a lot of people. And the link for that is tinyurl.com/e-trigger-guide.
E-trigger-guide. tinyurl.com/e-trigger-guide.
E-trigger. Not plural.
Is that the same thing that pops up when people visit your website, Nutrition in Motion? Does it pop up there too? There's like a pop-up, or is that something different?
No, the pop-up that comes up is to actually, you might get that one on that one too. I can't remember, but you also get an option on my website to schedule a 15-minute chat so we can talk about what it is that's going on with you and what your situation is, so that we can see, you know, would nutrition be helpful? Would the Be Whole program be something that would benefit you, so that we can work on all those aspects to help you feel more whole, and as most of my clients, to help you feel better quickly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your wisdom. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that mind-body connection and what your body is saying to you. So one last time, Joanna, throw out your URLs.
www.nutritioninmotion.net. And the emotional trigger guide is tinyurl.com/e-trigger-guide.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, and I will see everybody after the break.
Sounds good.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. And yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call in, and get tuned up. It's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known light body whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit GraceGHolm.com. That's GraceGHolm.com. Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com. Are you ready to let go of the I can't that are holding you down? Valerie Trujillo invites you to join her community on a mission to collectively heal as a tribe, where your vulnerability is heard and reciprocated. So tune in to Love and Light with the Crystal Blue Oracle every second and fourth Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Valerie and her work, visit CrystalBlueOracle.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Jen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. Today, my guest Joanna and I, we just had a discussion about the connection between emotions and the body. A lot of times when we are experiencing physical pain, well, usually, a lot of the times, most of the time, there is some kind of emotional component attached to it. Because as a human being, we are made up of our thoughts, our emotions, we're made up of physical matter, and all of these things are really in the same temple. They all live within the same body. Your thoughts don't live outside of you. Your emotions don't live outside of you. And also your soul self is in here as well. So when one area of your life is mucking up the system, then things go haywire and it starts to break down. It's kind of like a car that's never tended to or serviced starts to break down. And you know, you never know what part or piece is going to fall apart. It's just going to happen because you aren't dealing with the car as a whole. You aren't maintaining it. So the body is the same way. And in this conversation, Joanna, she focuses first on the nutrition piece because she does work with that. That's why people come to her. They come to her for the nutrition, for the inflammation, for the, you know, body pain. And if you're an athlete, that kind of hinders your performance. Whereas on my end, the people are usually coming from an emotion, from like a place of emotional duress, whether it's, you know, a trauma that they experienced or most recently, it's kind of like, life is fleeting away, and I don't feel like I've accomplished the things that I want to accomplish, and you know, time is running out, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself, and I'm looking for my greater purpose, and I don't really know what that is. Oh, but meanwhile, I have like this incredible anxiety, and wow, you know, what is up with my gut? I have these constant knots in my stomach. And that is something that I was actually experiencing when I was on my own journey to kind of figuring out what is my purpose. Yeah, I have this career and I'm doing these things, but it just doesn't feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And I was ignoring that a little bit. It's kind of like I knew what I wanted to do, but I had to make some really tough decisions in my life. So I was ignoring that inner nudge, that voice that's like, hey, you need to make some changes in your marriage. You need to make some changes in your career. And a lot of times that's scary, and we start to ignore those voices, what we're hearing from within, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I have like the stomach pain. Why do I have the stomach pain? And then you go to the doctor and you get diagnosed, and it's like mystery stomach pain. Nobody knows why you're experiencing it, but hey, here's some medication you can take. And now you're taking medication to deal with the pain. Meanwhile, it's your body that's like, hey, dude or dudette, wake up. You're not listening, so I'm going to kind of shut you down by giving you this distress, this pain, this suffering in a way. Maybe you'll start listening. And when I decided that it was not okay anymore to have this tension in my gut, like at some point I was like, I'm going to get stomach cancer because my stomach is constantly in these knots. So once I gave myself permission to listen to my body and start to do things differently, that's when I started to feel better. Now, meanwhile, when we don't fix these things, you know, there are consequences. I mean, I lived with the knots in my stomach, I would say, for a good year. Yes, a year, like chronic anxiety and stomach knots for a year. So you can imagine like a year of those knots, like what it did to my gut health. And now how long has it been? That's 2011. So we're talking like 8 years later. I'm still working on it, and I'm definitely a lot better, and I don't have the constant knots, but it's just the whole point that when we ignore our voice, and then we start to ignore our bodies, then our bodies start to deteriorate, and it's a lot harder to come back from that. So it really behooves you to start to listen, A, to that inner voice, but B, if you are experiencing that body pain, what's going on? What is it telling you? And I love using the chakra system for this. Joanne and I talked a little bit about it. We both use it in our work. And I like it because it's simple enough for people to understand. I mean, I enjoy, you know, Chinese medicine as well, and I've done acupuncture and things like that, but it can be very complicated to the average person, whereas the chakra system can give you a clue as to what body part is hurting or is ailing, and what organs that corresponds to, what emotions that corresponds to. So it gives you a little bit of a hint, a clue, as to the direction to go. So when I'm working with clients, I am doing a full chakra analysis just to see what's imbalanced, because sometimes people will come and they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm really struggling with, you know, finding my purpose, and, you know, but I have these headaches. And it's like, I want to know, okay, what is really going on? What is that root cause? What is connected? So by doing this chakra analysis, I can look at the body as a whole. And it just gives us direction, a point of conversation. Also, the tarot cards are great for that as well. Pulling cards, what comes up? And by using these tools, it's just a much quicker way of figuring out the method behind the madness. And especially, you know, when it comes to, like, stuck energy, and this is why in my programs I also talk about yoga a lot, like in my morning magic program. One of the things I recommend that people do is a morning exercise stretching routine. And the reason is when I got more into my yoga practice, I realized that by understanding the chakra system, being aware of my emotions and my thoughts and my body, but also working with my body through movement, through pranayama, which is breathing exercises, through chanting and mantras and sound vibration, I found that by working with my body in that way actually helped me move through emotional distress a lot quicker. Same with tapping. If you've been following me for a while, you know that I also use tapping. It's also called emotional freedom technique. And that's also another tool that helps move the energy through the body. So when we're experiencing grief or sadness or loss or guilt, whatever it is, and we are working with the body through movement, through tapping, which is kind of like acupuncture, except you're just tapping on certain meridians on your face and chest and head. By using these, we're moving through things in a much quicker fashion because we're working with our system as a whole. So when we find ourselves misaligned, and I do believe that the number one reason why our body gets the way it does, whether it's an illness or just, you know, some unexplained pain, is because we're making misaligned choices in our life. And our choices directly impact our physical health. And really, we're talking about what you are feeding your body. Are you giving your body enough rest? Are you living by your sense of values, your moral compass? Are you doing the things that you're called to do, that your soul your spirit is saying, hey, you know, this is your path? Or are you living by the shoulds, the ought tos, the what looks good? All of those things create a path of struggle for you, which then impacts your body. Directly, it's, you know, the food that you're putting in your body, the sleep, the rest that you're getting. But indirectly, it's, oh, I am living a life of shoulds. I feel like I should be, you know, getting an advanced degree and going to med school, and I should be doing that. Meanwhile, your soul is screaming like, yeah, no, stop. We don't want to do that. That's not, you know, our path here. And we're plowing through it. And then all of a sudden, it's like the body starts to feel that misalignment too. And so indirectly, it starts to really manifest, you know, pain, disease, etc. Okay, so quick question from an online user. Do you work with people who have severe anxiety? I do not work with people with severe anxiety that might need pharmaceutical intervention. If this anxiety is preventing someone from being able to leave their home, then no. I mean, someone has to be functioning where when I make recommendations, they're actually able to follow through. So you would have to be able to determine that on your own. If I, you know, talked about the root cause and we did clearing work, would you be able to do what's needed to be done to make changes, or is the anxiety paralyzing you from that too? And I don't do medication management, so you'd really have to decide where you are on that spectrum. Okay. It's like I get these little notes. Hey, you have 1 minute. It's like, yay, I could talk about this stuff forever. Okay, so quickly wrap up. I probably have like 10 seconds now. Thank you so much for joining me today, Coffee with the Universe. And thank you, Joanna, for joining us as well.
You've been listening to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein. Thank you for taking a break and taking yourself time in joining Laura for Coffee with the Universe. Knowing yourself and listening to your inner guidance are the first steps to creating more joy, fulfillment, abundance, and peace. Make sure to come back next time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to do more live card pulls, share tips, and ideas to help you let go of things that are no longer working so that you can truly be yourself. If you'd like more information or to set up a being-doing guidance session with Laura, please visit LauraGoldstein.com. That's LauraGoldstein.com. Don't forget next time, visit with Laura on Transformation Talk Radio.